Today's class is given by Har Grace Kalasudha Mataji, the Nectarian Melu of Sri Radha Kirpa Kataksi Satya Raja. Mataji, thank you so much for your very wonderful association. Please, Mataji, take over this conference.
Thank you so much for the opportunity. Hare Krishna. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So today we will continue on with Sri Radha Kripa Kataksha Stavaraja. We'll start with text 6.
Asheshava bhavadhira hirahara bhushite prabhuta shata kumbha kumbha kumbhe kumbha sustani prashasta manda hasya churna purna shokhya sagare kada karishya sihamam kripa kataksha bhajanam.
O goddess decorated with a pearl necklace of bold amorous hints, O goddess as fair as gold, O goddess whose breasts are great golden water pots, O ocean of happiness filled with the scented powders of gentle smiles, when will you cast your merciful sidelong glance upon me? Om Jnanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Nama Om Vishnu Pradaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Radhanath Swamiti Namine. Nama Om Vishnu Pradaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamiti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshadarine Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasati Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So text 6 of Sri Radha Kripa Kataksha Stavaraja is specifically Lord Shiva is glorifying the beautiful complexion and some of the features of Srimati Radharani. So here, before we start, I'd like to just read one small passage where from Sri Ujjwala Nilamani. This is a very wonderful book written by Srila Rupa Goswami Pad, and there, Krishna himself is glorifying Srimati Radharani by saying that, O Radhe, the locks of your hair curl beautifully, and you have a lotus-like face with elongated, restless eyes. Your chest is adorned with lovely, large, and firm breasts. Your waist is attractively slender. Your head is bowed slightly in modesty, and your fingernails are like rows of jewels. Your beautiful form is a festival of elegance and sweetness that crushes the vanity of the three worlds. So how Sri Krishna himself is glorifying the beauty of Srimati Radharani is really worth noticing here. Every word that Sri Krishna is using, in glorifying Krishna, that Krishna is using in glorifying Srimati Radharani, especially the last line, that your beautiful form is a festival of elegance and sweetness that crushes the vanity of the three worlds. I mean, the beautiful form being a festival of elegance. Just imagine the choice of words, you know, that Krishna is using for glorifying Srimati Radharani and her elegant beauty. That Srimati Radharani, her features are so beautiful and she is meant only for the enjoyment of Krishna. And therefore, each and every limb of her body is perfect and it gives supreme pleasure to Sri Krishna. You know, we have heard of the festival of chariots. We're just having Ulta Rath also. This is Rath Yatra season going on. So everywhere we see, you know, so many posts about Rath Yatra. So this is the festival of chariots. Then there's the festival of Janmashtami. There is Sri Radhashtami. But have you ever heard of a festival of elegance? The festival of elegance is in the personification of Srimati Radharani. That each and every bodily limb of Srimati Radharani is such, you know, forms of elegance that it is a festival to the eyes. And what is the purpose of festivals? Why do we do festivals? We perform festivals so that we can relish the mood, we can dive into the, like say for example, Rath Yatra. When Rath Yatra festival is coming, we are all so busy, you know, like preparing for the procession, how to dress up the deities for their procession, taking them out, and then how we are going to interact with the crowd, how we are going to distribute prasadam to them, how we are going to organize dancing processions in front of the chariot, how we are going to organize traffic control in front of the chariot. So all of this planning goes when we talk about a Rath Yatra festival. So when we are taking darshan of Srimati Radharani and Sri Krishna, do we ever consider that to be a festival? At least I never did, personally, till I read this particular sentence told by Krishna himself, that whenever we are seeing, we are taking darshan of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna at the temple, that in itself is a celebration. That their lordships are allowing us to take darshan of their, you know, the festival of elegance that is going on around themselves. So this is such a great opportunity for us to relish. That's why Srila Prabhupada said, in the life of a Vaishnava, every day is a festival. Srila Prabhupada said this. Why he said this? It is this reason why he said this. That even when we are taking darshan of the deities, it is indeed a festival of elegance. How, you know, we should try to remember this particular thing. I personally always try to do this, that I keep practicing to remember that when I'm taking darshan, that we take darshan of each and every limb of the deities. We start from the lotus feet and we move our eyes upwards. We take darshan from bottom to the lotus face of the Lord and of their lordships. So when we do that, we should try to relate to this particular glorification of Krishna, that how he is glorifying Srimati Radharani to be so elegant. She is so chaste. She is so modest. She is so beautiful. Each and every limb of her body is so beautiful. And here Krishna is definitely talking about her modesty. So one day, what happened is that this pastime I just heard from a lecture from His Holiness Srila Bhakti Charu Swami Maharaj. Maharaj is describing this very beautiful pastime, that one day Srimati Radharani, she was lamenting, you know, out of her you know, great humility, she was actually lamenting that, oh, look at me, I am so fallen. I do not deserve to be in the association of Krishna. I am actually very, very unchaste. I'm very unchaste. Radharani was, you know, lamenting like this, in basically in separation from Krishna, but she was lamenting. And she was saying that, look at me, I am so fallen that I've gotten married to Abhimanyu. And I am not therefore chaste to Krishna. I have another husband. How can I be chaste to Krishna? So she was crying tears and tears of loving separation from Krishna. And she was just condoning herself like this. And she was in Javat, in her in-law's home. And Sri Krishna was in Nandagaon. But Krishna, his heart understood the pangs of separation that Srimati Radharani was going through. And at that particular moment, what happened was Krishna was actually drinking milk from Mother Yashoda. And as soon as Krishna felt that Srimati Radharani is crying and she's really, you know, talking in this way, Krishna could not tolerate it. And he just rolled over from the lap of Mother Yashoda and he just, you know, just closed his eyes and he was not opening his eyes. And then Mother Yashoda started lamenting that, what did I do? Krishna was drinking my milk. And did I kill him? What happened? What happened to my baby Krishna? You know, for a mother, babies are always babies, however big they may be. So Krishna was quite elderly at this point, but he would still take milk from Mother Yashoda. It is explained. And when, you know, Mother Yashoda saw Krishna rolling down from her lap in this way, Mother Yashoda started lamenting. And immediately, Krishna manifested at a farther distance in the form of a very old doctor. He had a big turban and, you know, he was dressed as an old doctor. So that was Krishna himself. So Nanda Baba, Mother Yashoda started screaming on top of her voice that, where did Nanda Baba go? What happened to Krishna? Come, come here. Come here and see what happened to Krishna. So then Nanda Maharaj immediately ran. He just ran and he just saw this doctor was coming and walking. And then Nanda Maharaj said, oh, my dear doctor, my dear Vaidya, you please come, please come. My son, he needs you. So then the doctor came and he saw Krishna. And Krishna seeing Krishna, and he said, oh, this is a very serious matter. He is in very big trouble. But he can be revived. But if he needs to be revived, the remedy is that the cure is actually very difficult. So then Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj said that, don't worry, you tell us what the remedy is. Then we will take care of it. I assure you we'll take care of it. Then the doctor said, okay, there's only one thing that can cure Krishna. And there's only one thing only. That only a perfectly chaste woman, I need her. Go and bring a perfectly chaste woman. Then I'll tell you what the cure is. Then Yashoda Mata said, no problem at all. Vrindavan is full of chaste women. I can bring anyone. Or me. I can have me. And then the doctor said, no, not you, not you. Because he didn't want his mother to compete with Srimati Radharani. So then the doctor said, no, mother can't do this ritual. Only anyone else other than mother can actually do this ritual. So then he said, okay, well, I'll go and get somebody. Then, you know, Mother Yashoda brought some ladies from Braj. And then the doctor said, okay, wonderful. So here's a clay pot. This is a water pot. And the doctor made 1,000 holes in the water pot. And he said that whoever is the most chaste, they'll have to carry water in this pot and then bring it over here from the Jamuna. They have to collect water from the Jamuna and they have to bring it over here to Krishna and sprinkle this water on Krishna's head, and then he'll come back to consciousness. That's how he will be cured. So then, you know, how anyone will do, all the ladies, they were shocked. A pot with 1,000 holes. So, who can do it? So then Mother Jashoda, you know, was confused because all the ladies, they were really not capable. They said, no. How can we do? Because they really didn't have faith so much. And also Krishna is residing in each and every one of their hearts as Paramatma. Didn't allow them to become inspired to do this because he wanted Srimati Radharani to, you know, prove to her that she is the perfectly chaste woman. So nobody came forward. The doctor actually said, so, you know, in Vrindavan, there are only 2 chaste ladies. So then Mother Jashoda asked, who are they? Tell us, my son is in danger. So then the doctor said, they are Jatila and Kutila, the, you know, mother-in-law and the sister-in-law of Srimati Radharani. You go and bring them, and then they will, you know, they'll be able to carry this water pot and they'll be able to cure Krishna. So then Mother Jashoda immediately went to the house of Jatila and Kutila and explained to them what happened. So Jatila became very proud. Said, yes, see, the doctor knows that I'm so chaste. So I'll come. Yes, I'll bring my daughter too. I will come. So Jatila and Kutila came, and then they, you know, Jatila said, no. Kutila, you don't go. Then they both started fighting that who will go. And then Kutila said, Mother, just let me go and you don't take the trouble. I'll go and bring the water. And as soon as she went to lift the water, the pot of the water, immediately all the water dropped out. She tried once, twice, thrice, and then she gave up. She became very upset, you know. Kutila became very upset. The sister-in-law became very upset. And Jatila became more upset. And she said, you are such an unchaste daughter of mine, and you're not worthy to be my daughter. You're a disgrace to me, disgrace to the entire family. So like this, you know, Jatila was, you know, abusing Kutila. Because generally, what would happen is, Jatila and Kutila would never leave an opportunity to abuse Srimati Radharani and criticize her. Of course, it was part of the pastime. You know, we read in the Nectar of Devotion how Srila Prabhupada writes very beautifully that Jatila and Kutila, they have a very special role to play. Because Parakya Ras, you know, is not possible in the spiritual world. It is possible only in this material world. So Krishna has come to relish this Parakya Ras, and Jatila Kutila actually play a very, very important role in enhancing the sweetness of this rasa. You know, by stopping Krishna from meeting with Srimati Radharani, from, you know, doing all these things, their intensity to meet with each other increases so much. So it is all part of Krishna's plan that Jatila and Kutila behave in such a way. But nonetheless, they would never leave an opportunity to ridicule and criticize Srimati Radharani. So Krishna wanted to teach a lesson to both of them. So therefore, right now, Jatila is actually scolding and shouting at Kutila that you go and drown yourself in the Jamuna. Otherwise, I'll only go and drown myself in the Jamuna. And then she said, okay, now, you know, I'll go and bring water. So why 1,000 holes? Let there be millions of holes. I don't care, but I'll go and bring water from the Jamuna. So very proudly, Jatila, the mother-in-law, went into the Jamuna. And she dipped the pot, filled it up, and as she picked it up, with a heavy roaring of the sound of all the water, became completely, you know, she had tried to lift the pot on top of her head, so she became completely drenched in water. And then she became very upset. And then she said, Jashoda, how can you even believe that anyone can carry water in a pot with so many holes in it? How is it actually possible Jatila came and said to Mother Jashoda, and Jashoda Mata said, you know, it's impossible to do this. Doctor, what should we do? So then Mother Jashoda, you know, she said, seems that there is only one person in Vrindavan. Actually, that doctor said to Mother Jashoda that there is only one person. And everyone said, who is it? Who is it? So then the doctor said, her name is Radhika. And Jatila and Kutila said, they started laughing. They said, Radhika? Really? No. It can't be like this. So then, you know, they said, okay, Mother Jashoda, she was so desperate. She said, don't worry. Since the doctor has now said, I'm ready to try anything for bringing my Krishna back to life. So then Srimati Jashoda Mata, she just went and grabbed Srimati Radharani and gave her the 1,000-hold water pot, clay pot, and said, Radhe, go to the Jamuna and please bring water for my Krishna. So then Srimati Radharani, she offered obeisances to Jashoda Mata, and then she took that 1,000-hold pot and she went down into the Jamuna, and entire Braj actually went down with her, including Jatila and Kutila. So they all came, and Srimati Radharani filled the water pot with water and she put it on top of her head, and not a single drop was escaping from that water pot. Not a single drop. And she started walking back towards Krishna's palace, and not a single drop was falling out from that water pot. And she brought the water back into the palace of Nanda Maharaj. The doctor took the water and sprinkled it on Krishna, and Krishna immediately opened his eyes and he said, "That oh, Mata, what happened, Maya? And then why is such a big crowd?" And doctor started saying, "Let's see, this is the most chaste lady in all the three worlds. But look at this Jatila and Kutila, that they are so envious that they even find fault with this epitome of chastity, Sri Radhe. The most chaste in woman in their eyes is actually unchaste. So what is going to happen to all these people?" So, and then all the Prajbasis, they started ridiculing Jatila and Kutila, that you better start being nice to Srimati Radharani. And then Srimati Radharani was, you know, again she became very shy, because she understood when that old doctor just gave a little wink to her, she understood that this is none other than her Shama Sundara, who has come to prove to her and to the entire world that there is nobody as chaste as Srimati Radharani in the entire creation, in all of the three worlds. So this is about the modesty and the chastity of Srimati Radharani, which was proved by Krishna himself. So we understand that how, you know, Srimati Radharani, we should never consider that, you know, she is in any way, you know, of this world. It's very, very, you know, offensive to even think like that. There's one more sweet pastime, actually, Bhakti Charu Maharaj talks about in this particular lecture. Maharaj talks about how Jatila and Kutila, you know, how their role was so special that they would increase the intensity of love between Srimati Radharani and Sri Shama Sundara. So one day, actually Jatila and Kutila, they would always look out for opportunities to catch both of them red-handed. But they would never be able to. So one day what happened was, Krishna was sitting in the room of Srimati Radharani and they were talking, both of them, the divine couple, they were talking. And Kutila, the sister-in-law, she actually heard Krishna's voice. And she said, "Ah, I got the opportunity to catch them both red-handed." So then she started, you know, tiptoeing her way towards Srimati Radharani's room so that, you know, Krishna would not run away. Now, Krishna, he is so good. He is so clever that he, of course, being present in the heart as Paramatma, he could understand that Kutila is coming towards Srimati Radharani's room. So immediately Krishna disappeared. As soon as Kutila opened the door to Srimati Radharani's room, she saw that Sri Radhe is sitting alone on her bed. And then Kutila came inside. She's looking at each and every nook and corner of the room and said, where is Krishna? I heard his voice. I heard his voice. Was Krishna here? And then Sri Radhe said, no, nobody's here. Nobody's here. And then Kutila was still frantically searching all over the room but could not find Krishna. And then she saw, here, I found the proof that Krishna is here. He was here. And then she just looked, and Radharani looked, and her eyes became big. What she saw was, there was Krishna's flute lying on the bed. Krishna had forgotten to take his flute. So Kutila just got hold of that flute, and she got hold of Radharani's hand, and said, Mata, Mata, look. And she was calling out to Jatila and said, look, I found the proof that Krishna was in the room with Srimati Radharani. Look at this. His flute is here. And look at this girl. She's so, not nice. She's enjoying with another man. What is this? What is this? And then both Jatila and Kutila, they came out of the house and they started collecting all the people of the village of Javat. And they said, see, I always tell you that my daughter-in-law is so, not of good qualities. She is not nice at all. Look, we have the proof. Krishna has left his flute here in Radharani's room. So Srimati Radharani was feeling so distressed, so, disheartened that, Jatila and Kutila were acting like this. So Krishna immediately inspired Yogamaya in the form of Purnamasi. Purnamasi, we all know, is the elderly lady. She is the elderly lady of Brajadham. And whatever she says, nobody ever questions it. So then, immediately, Purnamasi came on the scene and said, what's wrong? Why is this sweet little Sri Radhe? Why is she crying pearl-like tears? From her soft cheeks, I see pearls coming down from her lotus-like eyes. Why is she crying? What's wrong with you, Jatila and Kutila? Why are you chastising this sweet little girl? And then Jatila Kutila said, look, Purnamasi, you don't believe. Look, this is the proof that Sri Krishna was in the room of Srimati Radharani. Here's his flute. Look, we have proof. And then Purnamasi just banged her head and she said, oh, Jatila and Kutila, you don't know anything. Don't you know that last night it rained flutes in the entire Vrindavan Dham? Don't you know that? Jatila Kutila said, what are you saying? What do you mean it rained flutes? He said, okay, you don't believe me? Let's go to your room. So then they first came to Kutila's room and they found one flute there. And she said, see there? There is one flute in your room. And said, let's go to Jatila's room. They found two flutes there. They went to each and every house in Javad. They found, in each home, they found one flute. So then Purnamasi said, look, this is what it is. This is what I'm trying to tell you. That in yesterday night, it was raining flutes. So why would there not be a flute in Radhe's room? She is also part of Javat. She is also part of Brajodham. So naturally, if it has rained flutes in every home of Javat, in every room of Javat, then even in Radhe's room there is a flute. So why are you chastising her? So then Jatila and Kutila said, yeah, that is true, that is true. Oh, okay, there's flute in every... Oh, your room also there is flute? Okay, okay. So then maybe this is some mistake. Okay, okay, Radharani, you can go to your room. So like this, Maharaj explains that how sweet these pastimes are, that how much it increases the... it was actually after this particular pastime, that Srimati Radharani was sitting in her room and crying because Jatila and Kutila had called her unchaste. So she was crying in you know, firstly separation from Krishna, and also from a distress, you know, that she was really considering herself to be unchaste. And she was unchaste to Krishna, not that she was, you know, Jatila and Kutila, they were saying that she is unchaste to Abhimanyu, but Radharani was crying tears of, you know, guilt that she felt that she was unchaste to Krishna. And that is, you know, the condition that we should also try to aspire for, that when we are chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, when we are rendering devotional service to Krishna, when we are not able to do and live up to our vows, we should cry in this way, thinking that we are becoming unchaste to our spiritual masters. We are becoming unchaste to Srila Prabhupada. That rendering of devotional service, chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, that is how we show that we are chaste to our spiritual masters, whether we be in a male body or a female body. Because we are all jivas, we are prakriti. We are meant to be enjoyed by Krishna. So we are all supposed to be chaste towards Guru and Krishna. And the way we show our chastity towards Guru and Krishna is by having the sincerity in our own sadhana. When we have sincerity in our own sadhana, then, you know, we become the rightful recipients to receive the mercy flowing down from Guru and Krishna. So I will end here. If there's any questions, comments, or reflection, we can take that now. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Hare Krishna Mataji, Dhanat Pranam. All glory to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you so much, Mataji. So much for sweetness. Thank you for sharing very busy pastime. Mataji, how old Krishna was thinking still, Mother Yashoda?
Anjana Gopika, echo on your end. Hear very
Hare Krishna, Mataji. How old Krishna was, Mataji, when he was drinking milk from Mother Yashoda?
He was a little above 15 years old.
Krishna was still drinking milk from Mother Yashoda till that time, Mataji? Mataji, and that in special old there is Parakya Rasa is not showing, Mataji, what a relationship in Krishna and Radha. And here only that rasa is there, eventually.
Yes, yes. The Parakya Rasa is only an ornament, just like how there is no killing of demons in the spiritual world. The killing of demons only happens in this material world when Krishna manifests as Bhauma Leela. And the Parakya Rasa, Krishna enjoys only in Bhauma Leela. He does not have Parakya Rasa, because over there in the spiritual world, everyone belongs to Krishna. All the gopis, you know, Srimati Radharani, they are all belonging to Krishna. So they don't have Parakya Rasa there. There the gopis are not married. They are, you know, having their eternal age of being 15 years old, and Krishna is 16 year old over there. So that's what it is.
Mataji, when we read, and the special old Parakya Rasa is highest, means that is telling when Krishna came at that time that Parakya Rasa was there, not other time, Mataji, not in it, eternally Parakya Rasa is manifest.
See, in this particular kalpa, we are seeing the Parakya Rasa. So it's not that, so Parakya Rasa doesn't exist in the spiritual world. That is the thing. But it's not the first time that Krishna is enjoying Parakya Rasa when he is coming here. So, it, you know, we all know that in every day of Brahma, you know, Krishna comes every day of Brahma, which is the 28th cycle of the 7th Manu. So Krishna appears during that time, and whenever Krishna appears, he enjoys Parakya Ras. So this is not the first time that he is enjoying Parakya Ras. Whenever Krishna comes down to Bhauma Leela, he enjoys Parakya Ras at that time. So that is why Parakya Ras is considered to be the highest, because it is actually the lowest and the most degrading one in the material world, and in the spiritual sense, it is considered to be the highest.
Yes, Mataji, every time when Krishna comes and he enjoys, that's why it's eternal, that is also, no?
Yes.
Mataji, it's very nice, and you were telling how Radharani was crying, and then we should also cry for our, not just with Guru and Krishna, Parampara. Thank you so much, Mataji. Very, very nice point.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Madhai Zandava, this is Damodaran Das from Bloomington, Illinois. Srila
Prabhupada,
thank you very much for one more sweet lecture and very sweet pastimes. And I really appreciated, you know, you telling us that seeing the deity in the altar, the temple, is a celebration in itself. It is very nice, because when we look at the deity, we should feel that happiness and bliss. So it becomes like a festival every day, every time. And also taking the darshan of the deities, starting from the lotus feet and going up, very nicely mentioned by you and described in Bhagavatam, and that's how we should take the darshan of the deities. So that is very nice. So, and I just want to mention that chasteness in this sense, it doesn't mean that all the gopis are amorous, but even thinking of any other man makes you unchaste in that sense. So, and Radharani was always thinking only of Krishna. I just wanted to mention that. Thank you, Mother. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Mataji, Dandavat Pranam, August Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. Very beautiful class, Mataji. Mataji, which verse did you read today?
This was number 6.
Oh, number 6.
Hare Krishna, Mataji, Dandavat Pranam, August Srila Prabhupada. Thank you for a very wonderful class. Mataji, I have one question. Mataji, is there any echo coming from my side?
Yes, yes, a little disturbance, but I can hear you. Go ahead.
Okay. So, Mataji, recently I attended some local temples, Rath Yatra.
Mm-hmm.
So, during that Rath Yatra, means like not many ISKCON devotees were there. It was some local temples, Rath Yatra. So, mm-hmm. I was just feeling that as we hear about the pastime of Lord Jagannath, and as you are saying that it's a celebration when we are seeing Diti, so I felt that for a moment for me, means it was a celebration, but later on I was engaged in like talking to other devotees and all. I was dancing for a few minutes and it was like gone for means like whole Rath Yatra. So how mm-hmm. to imbibe that mood that we can feel that celebration till we are seeing deities? I'm asking for myself.
Yes, well, this is also for myself, and this is, you know, as I was mentioning in the talk that, you know, I personally have been practicing, you know, to be in this mood also when we are taking darshan, at least when we are in the audience of the Lord, you know, means in the presence of the Lord, that try to be with Krishna more, but then we also need to engage ourselves in the preaching mission of Srila Prabhupada and our Guru Maharaj. So, you know, we do be in the proper audience, in the proper mood of the Lord when we are in the presence of the Lord. But then we can also definitely, you know, participate in the Rath Yatra. We can participate in the preaching, reaching out to new people, talking to them about Krishna, giving them prasadam. All that is also considered to be, you know, taking very active role in direct deity service. So, and the other thing is that what you specifically asked about how to be in the mood, I would say that it just comes by regular practice, you know. Like even right now, you know, at least for myself, I can say that I have to force myself to chant japa, you know. Relishing japa is way beyond, you know. So I am still in the level that I have to, you know, tell my mind repeatedly that, yes, I have promised to my spiritual master, so I have to chant. I have to chant. So that is the way we need to do it, you know. It's not that it will come overnight, but at the same time, the more we are conscious about the fact, the more quicker the effect will come. Just like how Srila Prabhupada said that when we promise to the spiritual master during initiation, we don't say that we will chant attentively 16 rounds. We just say that we will chant 16 rounds. Because attentive chanting is something that we keep working on, you know. So when we try to, Srila Prabhupada always says that when the mind goes away, that is, it is bound to go away. It is natural for the mind to go away, Srila Prabhupada says. But how much are we trying to bring it back towards focusing on hearing the holy name? That is what Krishna is seeing, the effort that we are trying to put in. And Prabhupada gives the analogy that when a little child is just learning how to walk, they fall down 1,000 times. But they also get up 1,000 times. They don't remain in the fallen condition. So that's what Srila Prabhupada says, that you fall down 1,000 times, but you get up also 1,000 times. Don't remain in that fallen condition. So whenever we realize that, you know, we are in this mood, we are supposed to be in this mood when we are taking darshan of the deities, consciously trying to remember it, you know, by practicing to remember it. And when Krishna sees that sincerity, he benedicts us with, by rewarding us, you know, with that mood. So it is up to us how much we are practicing it and how much we are being conscious about it, basically. So does that help in answering your question?
Thank you. Thank you so much, Mataji. Very beautiful analogy and your answer. Thank you for that. Hare Krishna.
Thank you. Very beautiful question. Thank you. Any more questions?
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Mataji, you said Krishna was 15 years old that time. So what time what was the age when he was left Vrindavan?
You know, this particular pastime, it actually mentions that Krishna was 15 years old. And, you know, Srimati Bhaktisiru Maharaj mentions this, but this point came to my mind also, that what I have heard, or, you know, what's said in Krishna book is, I think, 11 years Krishna left Vrindavan with Akrura to go to Mathura. And so that's a little confusion even for me, you know, because this one was talked about by Maharaj, and that's why I said 15, because that's what Maharaj said. But it's a point that came to my mind also, you know, because I think, if I remember correctly, it is 11 when Krishna left for Mathura, because Krishna killed Kamsa when he was 11. And so that's what it is. But these pastimes, you know, it's not happening in just in one kalpa. You know, I took it in this way, that it's not just happening in this particular kalpa. These pastimes are eternally going on. So maybe in one particular pastime, you know, because Maharaj mentioned it, So the way I took it is that maybe in a different pastime, in a different kalpa, that Krishna was 15 years old during this pastime, and, you know, he manifested it in this way. That's how I take it. Does that make sense?
Yes, Mataji. What, you know, I heard somewhere, like, sometimes even Krishna is a baby, and he is with Radharani, he will become youth.
Yeah.
So, means for others, he was like a baby, but for Radharani, he was again 15 years old.
Yes. So, you know, all these transcendental things with Krishna, and, you know, so that's how we understand it. We take it at the face value, you know.
Yes. Thank you, Mataji.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna, Mataji.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu.
Regarding the question, can I say something?
Yes, please.
So, in Adi Guru, Krishna himself says that just as his Rupa, Shyam is the supreme, you know, in Kaishoravayas, as Prabhupada describes and our Acharya described, it's like a youth, 16, and that's how Krishna's age is accepted eternally. He appears is a youthful, like 16, all the times. So that is his eternal manifestation. And so when Krishna lived in Vrindavan for 11 years and certain days, and so this this question comes as how that if he is described only for 11 years, how he is described, how he is considered 16. We all glorify Krishna. 16, Radharani, little younger, 15. So it is described that in the great personality, especially Supreme Personality of Godhead, because his age or his beyond time, as you said, many kalpas. And so kalpas don't make a difference in Krishna's eternal appearance. So the great personalities, they appear 1.5 time. They are like an age which is manifest in the material world. Because they are timeless, but their manifestation is also like time-oriented. We hear that 11 years he lived in Vrindavan. So, but at the age of 11, in our calculation, Krishna appeared as 1.5 time. This is how his eternal, the fully blossomed or the youth, as Srila Prabhupada says, that Krishna never grew beyond his youth because his Atyam Purana Bhushan Nava Yauvanam. So in the great personalities, and especially Krishna and Radhani, they appear 1.5 time theirs, the calculative age. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhu. Thank you so much.
Anybody has any question?
Hare Krishna, Mataji, Dandavat Pranam, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you for this nice, wonderful pastime. And Hare Krishna, Dandavat Pranam to Maharaj, who just spoke. I have one question for Maharaj. If the age is timeless and those pastimes of Krishna is specifically mentioned for age for us, is there a reason why that's mentioned, the 11 years or 9 years or 15 years in this particular pastime? And why is it that we cannot be given to understand that there should not be an age in our time? Is that for us to understand so we can put a material body with that age, or for us to understand it in the transcendental, in its transcendental form, or in its timeless form?
Yes, Krishna's eternal form is timeless, and Krishna's manifestation is a baby and is born. His age is 5 years, 6 years. You know, three stages of Krishna's transcendental body. But they are only Upadharma. Krishna's manifestation is a baby, and it just to enjoy the relish the human life pastime. Human life, it says, Krishna's pastimes are considered human life, but he is not human. But Krishna being all capable, he manifests as a baby, then he grows in Pogan, then he grows into youth, and that's it. So he doesn't grow beyond his eternal form. And similarly, but Krishna remains in his eternal form for his own transcendental purpose. So it is described as Shambhavi Mataji described, that when Krishna was in Palna, you know, and he was a baby, but when Radharani would come and grow up to him, then he will just manifest his eternal beautiful form, because that is the eternal manifestation. As far as time is concerned, for our benefit, Krishna appears and he enacts his wonderful pastimes. And to give it historical evidence, so this 11 years and Krishna sustained his manifestation for 125 years. So it gives the credence to us and for the generations to come. For 5,000 years after we discuss Krishna, and because the credence has to be there, somebody like Krishna is powerful, is the most amazing person, it might be, but he did exist, you know, he did manifest his presence, and that gives the credence. But at the same time, in spite of his appearing as a human, everything, something stands out. So these things stand out, that Krishna, even in his 11 years, he revealed his full youth and Vrindavan pastime, especially the Rasa Lila. In that Krishna appeared, although he was from our calculation only 11 years, but Krishna's development was fully blossomed for the relishing of Rasa Lila and so on like that. So there's always a mysterious, wonderful thing, intriguing thing about Krishna, and we should feel blessed to be ever intrigued by Krishna. And there's no end to his intrigue. The paradox, we must find the paradoxes in Krishna's pastimes in many aspects. You know, I hope you are intelligent, and we are blessed by Srila Prabhupada and all his followers, that we can relish the intrigue of Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Maharaj. Bendavat pranam, all glory to Srila Prabhupada, all glory to Guru and Gauranga.
Couple of intrigue I can share, just to give an idea. Every pastime of Krishna or other incarnations, we should feel such intrigue. You know, just this, we pray to Lord Narasingadev every year, every day. Tavakara Kamala Vare Nakama Adhuta Sringam Dalita Hiranya Kashipu Tanu Pingam. So Krishna's lotus nails are described as Adhuta. No. Adhut means wow, most amazing, far out. We call amazing or adhut something which is paradoxical to our worldly experience. So in the worldly experience, what we see is that the whatever a bringer means a wasp, correct? A wasp, what it does, it shreds the lotus or the flowers. You see the wasp are taking the flower and shreds. But in case of Lord Narsingadev, his lotus snails are shredding the wasp. So it's the reverse. And that's what Jayadeva Goswami said, wow, it's Lord Narsingadev's lotus snails are so far out. It's reversing. So reversing experience, you know. So this is the intrigue we search out in all Krishna's pastimes. Another Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in discussion with this Keshava Kashmiri, he gives this analogy that Ambuni Ambun Jatam Na Kvachit Jatam Ambujad Ambu Mura Kiti Tata Viparitam Padam Bhujad Mahanadi Jatam. So he describes Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that we see that from the water grows the lotus. We never see in the world that the water grows from lotus. You know, this is our worldly experience. We see the lotus growing from the water, not the water growing from the water. But in case of Krishna, Murabhidi, the killer of Mura demon, this is reverse. Murabhidi tada viparitam. What is the viparit? What is the paradox? He said, Padam Bhujat, from the lotus feet of Krishna, Padam Bhujat, Mahanadi, the Ganges appears. So there is another paradoxical intrigue. So in every pastime, Brahma Vivan Lila, and same thing in Krishna's pastime regarding 11 years and all these things. So the intrigue we must search out in every pastime of Krishna. Hare Krishna. Damodaranda Prabhu, you want to say something?
Prabhu, I just, Maharaj, I just wanted to thank you for a very nice explanation. And Prabhupada uses the word inconceivable instead of intrigue, because intrigue denotes some sort of, trickery or something. And I was answering to Anand Bihari too from Ishopanishad. We know that Krishna is inconceivable. You know, he can be at one place and every place at the same time. Because most of the time we try to compare or understand these avatars from our human understanding, thinking that God is human. He cannot be at multiple places or he has to be the same age. So what I was suggesting, instead of saying that Krishna was 11 years and 13 days or 11 years or 3 months of age when he left Vrindavan, actually it should not be called age, because Krishna is ageless. It is the duration of time he spent there in that avatara. So we should be looking at that as duration, not as his age. And there is another pastime where Radha and Krishna, they assume their Panda age, 16 and 15, and were married when they were small babies. So when you look at Krishna as a baby, Bal Krishna, you should not be thinking he's a helpless child, but he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But at the same time, as devotees, we should be in that bhava, that is, as Bal Krishna, as a, parental love, we should look at Krishna as a baby. But that's a very high form of achievement. So I just wanted to mention my little bit.
Understanding. Thank you for listening, Maharaj. Hare Krishna. Is there any question or comment for Mataji? Otherwise, we can end the call. Yeah, Mataji and Maharaj and all the devotees, Pansakalpa Tarivesa, Kripa Sindhu Evasa, Patita Nama, Bhavanebhyo, Vaishnavebhyo,
Namo Namaha.
Hare
Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you, all the devotees.
Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna.